Good morning. I'm Kyle Omler with the Guru, Chris Bellina, and you're listening to The Blitz, going into week 9 already.
Wow.
And Halloween right around the corner. Mm-hmm. So actually, when you listen to this podcast, we're recording it the night before. It actually is Halloween day. So
right.
You said you were going as a zombie.
Actually, it's changed. We're going as Jack. My wife and I, we're going to be trick-or-treating around the kids as Jack and Sally.
Jack and Sally, and the kids are going to be Jack and Sally's little ones? Or
no, they're going as princesses.
Oh.
So we're going to – my oldest daughter, number one, is a big Nightmare Before Christmas fan, so we surprised her at a Christmas party we went to over the weekend with our costumes, and she loved it, so we're going to wear them as we walk around the neighborhood tomorrow.
Well, you do everything to your kids, I mean.
Everything.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I'm dressing up, too. We're a big Halloween family in this household.
Yeah, that's who we are. It's good.
Yeah, we go all out. It's kind of almost like we've set ourselves up every year to try and outdo it. Everybody always wonders, well, what are you going to be this year, Omler family? What are you going to be? It's like, well, so this year we're all going to be Wreck-It Ralph characters.
Okay.
Each one of us is going to be one of those deals. And my son, he's smaller. He gets to be Felix, you know, Fix-It Felix. He fits right into it. My daughter is going to be the Vanellope. And my wife, she's kind of a hard ass, kind of a hard body. She gets to be that female character who shoots everybody.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And then I get to be the cop donut because that's about my body shape. So
nice.
It's just easier. I couldn't pull off Ralph. I just don't have that masculine physique that Ralph has, so I said, hey, let's go for the pudgy cop donut instead with sprinkles on it.
Nice.
So I'm gonna be Duncan the donut cop, so that'll be mine. But we always love it, you know. Gotta hope that weather doesn't totally destroy us.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's get started here, though. As we do every week, we're gonna talk about all the games in detail and who we want to go. First game we're gonna be talking about, Buffalo is going to Kansas City. Kansas mm-hmm. City is that surprise team that nobody
so wait,
but you, apparently.
Surprise to who?
Yeah. Nobody but you who predicted them to go to the Super Bowl that I'm aware of.
Win the Super Bowl. I think right now they're the best team in football. They're the most balanced team. I would like to see a little bit more on offense. And that kind of leads into, you know, some of our fantasy discussion here. I'll start with the Chiefs. Alex Smith, he's been consistent. Definitely not putting up the offensive numbers I would have expected from him with Andy Reid and the success quarterbacks have had. A step above game manager, a couple good games, but you know, middle of the road Matt Schaub type numbers, nothing that's going to jump out at you. The main fantasy guy is Jamaal Charles. He's probably the number one or number two running back right now. He's catching the ball, he's running the ball, he's getting a lot of touches, so that's good. So he's a must start. He's definitely living up to his first round hype. Other than that, there's a lot of disappointment in Kansas City.
Yeah.
I mean, Dwayne Bowe has been a disaster for fantasy owners.
Does look like Reed has figured out McCluster maybe a little bit, though.
Well, that was going to be the next thing I said is, but now McCluster, who nobody else could figure out how to use, that's something that we talked about before the season started.
Yes,
we think
did.
Andy Reed is going to figure out a way to get Dexter McCluster involved, and he's using him as a slot receiver on the outside, on runs. He's getting fantasy value. Now, he's not a fantasy option unless he's unless you're in a point per reception league.
Yeah, maybe a big flex.
Or if you go four deep at wide receiver. But, you know, he's somebody to keep an eye on if he's someone in a dynasty league, you know. But other than that, I mean, it's Jamaal Charles is really the only must start on
right.
this team. Bowe is a must sit. I mean, he's almost a waiver wire candidate at this point. He is non-existent. He's not even somebody I would play in a four deep wide receiver situation. He's got a little bit of a tweaked groin or hamstring or something, so I would stay away from that.
Yeah, he's just not somebody you can count on at all anymore.
He's the kind of guy that you're gonna sit him. He'll have that big explosive game. You probably put him back in your lineup after you've kicked yourself and then kick yourself for putting him in. And there's been a lot of disappointing wide receivers, and we'll touch on them all in these couple of podcasts. As far as Buffalo, I tell you, when you know Fred Jackson, other than 1 week, is getting you 10 points a game.
Yeah.
He's a must start.
And C.J. Spiller looks like he's not going to play this week.
Well, right. Even of the more – I mean, I know Kansas City has a really good defense, but, you know, it's almost to the point now they're 8-0. You got to start going against the Chiefs, thinking they're not going to win them all. They're not that good of a team to win every game. and it's going to start with running Fred Jackson and throwing the ball to Stevie Johnson. Stevie Johnson's been having an under-the-radar season. A couple injuries, and, you know, he's somebody, if you're looking to make a trade, get him now, because I think he's going to go on a run, Stevie Johnson. I think he's
With Thad Lewis there, you think he's going to...
He had a big game last week and the week before. I believe he had a productive game. Again, for a third wide receiver, I would say, well, that, as that quarterback situation improves, the guy who's going to get the most value out of it is going to be Stevie Johnson. And I bet because he's, you know, on Buffalo, you may be able to steal him from somebody. So I recommend that's a guy that you could look to start as a number three or number four. But Fred Jackson, as long as CJ Spiller's out, I would say he's a must start. And I'll tell you, it's neck and neck between C.J. Spiller and Trent Richardson, who's the biggest disappointment this year running.
I think it's Trent Richardson. At least C.J. Spiller has an excuse of injury.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's getting to the point this year where it's a shame, obviously, for anybody who's in a redraft league with Spiller. They, unfortunately, most likely wasted their pick by taking him. People in Dynasty are just going to have to eat him for the year, apparently.
Yeah, deal with it.
Hopefully he returns next year back to form, but now it's not going to happen.
No.
Scott Chandler, he's looking pretty good there, getting a lot of targets with Thad Lewis and at quarterback.
When you have a rookie quarterback or a quarterback who doesn't get a lot of reps or is the backup getting some time in there, tight ends are always the ones who benefit.
Yeah, he's looking good. He's somebody that if he's floating around on your waiver wire and you have room for him, go ahead and grab that guy and put him on here.
I recommend it. I mean, whenever I see rookies start or struggling quarterbacks, your Christian Ponders, or when, you know, the guys in Cleveland, that's why I think Cameron's having such a big season. They rely on their tight end. And Chandler's no different at this point. His value, like you said, is definitely increasing.
Yeah. Harry Douglas looks like he's no joke. I mean, you can make up excuses all you want. Well, the first week, you know, last week he threw, Ryan threw 61 passes or some crazy number, so that's why he got it. And the week before it was some other reason, but that's 2 weeks in a row, okay? How much more does he have to do to prove to owners to make sure he's in the starting lineup? And then James Stewart, he's supposed to return week 9. Is that going to hurt D'Angelo Williams?
Absolutely.
Yeah, D'Angelo's nursing a quad injury, too.
Yeah, they don't run enough as it is. And now they're going to, he's going to be a little bit of a quad. He got a, you know, big hit in the game last week. We finally scored a touchdown. I mean, that was the run you were going to get with D'Angelo Williams. It was till James Stewart got back. They don't run the ball enough as it is. And when they get to the goal line, it's Tolbert. So now you lose touches at the goal line.
Yeah, they love Tolbert too. That's a good point.
Yeah, exactly. So really, there's a couple of must starts. It's Cam Newton is starting to get into form now. Why he's going to end up in this, as we talked about earlier, a top five quarterback this year. He's running, he's throwing, he's accurate, he's getting touchdowns, he's not turning the ball over. And he's going against a team in disarray with Atlanta. So Cam Newton's is a must start. I'm sitting D'Angelo Williams unless you don't have any other option. I'm sitting Ted Ginn, who's up and down. I'm sitting Brandon LaFells, who's up and down. Steve Smith, if you're in a deeper league, I would say play Steve Smith. He's not the Steve Smith from 3-4 years ago, as we all know. And Greg Olsen, he's been kind of steady, nothing spectacular, no 2 touchdown games. You know, you're going to get 6 to 10 points from him. From a tight end, you could take that. So Carolina is becoming a potent offense. So I would say Cam Newton, Greg Olsen, Steve Smith, I'd have them in your lineup. Atlanta, you keep playing Matty Ice, you know. I mean, if he has back-to-back poor performances, you may want to say, look, not having Roddy White, not having Julio Jones is affecting him. Yeah, Harry Douglas is the real deal. I would start him. He's a must-start. He's a nice number two wide receiver, as is, you know, Gonzalez is a must-start. Other than that, I mean, you know, keep an eye on Matt Ryan. If you have Phillip Rivers as your backup, if you have, Ben Roethlisberger maybe as your backup, you may want to look to start putting them in your lineup.
How about Jaquez Rogers going off on the receptions? His rushing yards were, you know, not that impressive. But he had all those receptions. And he killed me the other week just because of that. Yeah, I looked at it. I'm looking at his rushing yards, and I'm like, oh, he's got 20-some yards in the third quarter. No big. And then I look, wait, the guy has 7 receptions.
Yeah, and he wanted to get 2 touchdowns out of it.
He was killing me with this catching the ball out of the backfield.
Yeah, he's a year late for me. I had him in the year before, and he never amounted to much.
Do you think he's going to fall back into reality then, or is it?
I think that whole offense. I think that whole team is going to fall back to, once they lose another game, which they will this week. It's going to start. There's so much disappointment because they had such high expectations. I mean, this is a team I thought was going to go to Super Bowl and face the Chiefs.
Well, there's another candidate for biggest bust on that team too, is Steven Jackson. The guy hasn't even played this year.
Yeah, he's a guy who's really never that injured, and he's been nothing but injured. So
yeah, and everybody expected great things out of him. Oh, he's going to Atlanta. There's going to be Roddy White and Julio Jones. And
yeah, I just thought that he would. That was a perfect fit for him.
They got the San Diego Charger bug down there, don't they?
Everybody's getting injured. Getting a little soft. I mean, big names are getting hurt. So it's tough when you got the big names getting hurt. So, Matt Ryan, I mean, he's a brand name, so you're more than likely going to start him. He was drafted as your number one quarterback. But, again, if you have, somebody as your backup who's been productive like Phillip Rivers, maybe looking to get him in your lineup, and you may just have to sit Matt Ryan and say, look, this isn't the year for him, and cut your losses at this point.
Yeah.
So, and I would say Harry Douglas is a must start.
Yeah. Yeah. They're both looking pretty good there. The Browns are going against Baltimore. It's always just a great blood feud between these teams there. Jason Campbell actually looked pretty good throwing the ball. He actually gave that team a passing game, which looked good for everybody involved with Josh Gordon, Jordan Cameron. Last week I tuned it in and it was like, oh, they're losing, they're gone, they're out of it. And then I tuned back in, it's like, wait a minute, they still got some fight left in them here, the Browns. They're still trying. You got to give that coaching staff just a lot of credit for that team not quitting on them.
Well, I mean, they have a good defense. And when you have a good defense, you get the ball back in good field position a lot. So, they are getting the opportunity with shorter fields, which helps your offense, opens up the playbook a little bit. You're a little less conservative, a lot less three and outs when you're getting the ball at 40 as opposed to the 15. And that's a proponent of having a good defense. So I'm saying, I wouldn't play Jason Campbell, but, I would definitely play Josh Gordon. I would definitely play Jordan Cameron. Mm-hmm. So you have 2 people on the Browns now that are must start. And I'm wondering if deep down they're thinking, maybe we should have kept Trent Richardson. Maybe it's a piece or two away. So I'm saying there's 2 must starts on the Browns, and I don't know if those words have ever been spoken before. on the other end of the ball, other end of the other thing, I don't know if I can find a must start.
Right.
With Baltimore, Ray Rice has been a humongous flop. Flacco's been so-so. Torrey Smith, big game, small game, big game, small game, and nobody else has really stood out. So, honestly, I would say right now, shy away from anybody on Baltimore.
I agree with you completely on that. It's hard to, when you look at that roster, to have any confidence in anybody.
Yeah.
You're just like, ooh, maybe Flacco would be the only one I would say, well, if he's on a bye week fill-in, okay, I feel okay putting him in. Because he's going to throw. I mean, that's a given. They're going to throw the ball. But he'll spread it around so much, we don't know who he's going to throw it to. So, right. DeMarco Murray, he's going to be back. So, Joseph Randall, you can cut him now, right?
He probably was a below. I'm not a big handcuff person with running backs. I look at it this way. The guy was good enough to get the production of the starter. He'd be playing more. I look at it, because I
had to be sharing like a Fred Jackson, right, Spiller type role. 100%. Yeah, that makes sense.
This guy wasn't even in the lineup until somebody got hurt. So that just tells you right there. All right, just because they had to run the ball for balance, did he get carries? But he didn't really do much to me. I mean, he got 1 touchdown against Washington, but I didn't look to pick him up. When I had DeMarco Murray, my redraft leaving, I just said, let me go with somebody else, Joik Bell, then Joseph Randall. So, yeah, he really has 0 fantasy value. None of them do, other than DeMarco Murray.
Well, I want to point out, though, that Terrence Williams, though, he has supplanted Miles Austin.
Dallas has a lot of guys who have to be in your lineup. I'm starting Romo.
Yeah.
I'm starting DeMarco Murray. I'm starting Jason Witten. I'm starting Terrence Williams. I'm starting Dez Bryant.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, I can't.
Well, they're going against Minnesota. I mean,
well, that's it? Another part of it too. I mean, Tony Romo really made a lot of his throws last week. He had a 60-yarder and a 50-yarder. Beginning, he was really forcing the ball into Terrence Williams. Was hurting him a little bit. But, ultimately, there's going to be enough balls thrown around to those three guys with sprinkling in DeMarco Murray, who's probably going to get your 70, 80 yards, 100 yards, and a touchdown. They're going to be in the 30s with points, which means there's some touchdowns to go around. So,
and is this the week after the guru's theory of Dez Bryant on the sidelines chirping, getting a little angry? Do they feed him the ball this week?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I think apparently it wasn't what we thought it was. They actually had the sound on NFL Network.
Oh.
And he wasn't berating them for the ball. He was saying he was actually going off on they should be running certain plays because Tony Romo should be looking at certain things. He wasn't saying, get me the ball, get me the ball, get me the ball. That wasn't what the tirade was about. Mm. It was actually a pretty good one. I mean, it was pretty much – the guy made sense. Hey, look. This is the situation. We need to do better. We're the best in the league at doing this. We need to stick to doing it. It was really a good – it wasn't a tirade.
Yeah, I'm going to go listen to that because Witten looked like he was all upset about whatever he was saying.
That was the second one, and that was – I think they don't have the video of that, audio of that. It was the first tirade where he was running around a la Terrell Owens.
Oh, magically they can't find the audio of the second one. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. They had no audio for that one, but the first one seemed pretty good. On the other side –
Minnesota.
Adrian Peterson, you're going to play. He's a must start. But he still isn't the Adrian Peterson of old. I'll tell you that right
any
now.
Any of those wide receivers on that team even deserve to be on a roster?
Right. And that's like Greg Jennings. I mean, I always leery of these big-name wide receivers who switch teams to a team without a proven quarterback.
Yeah, you can't have any of these guys on your fantasy roster, can you? I mean, even no. on, not starting. I mean, no. on. Kyle Rudolph even. Really?
No, no.
He's not doing anything. So why even carry guys on your roster at this point that obviously proven they're not going to do anything? I'd be much better off having a guy who could explode on my roster who's shown potentials like that guy in Cincinnati we're going to be talking about later. So somebody like him. Green Bay, they're going against the Bears. Eddie Lacy, man, he looks like he might be up for Rookie of the Year. The guy is running. And that Boykin.
There's your guy. He is a wire guy. I'm playing a Boykin over a Dwayne Bowe. I'm playing Boykin Greg Jennings. I'm playing Boykin over Marquise Colston. I'm playing Boykin over a lot of players because he's got a great quarterback and a great offense. Is Andrew Quarles worth a pickup?
Mm.
Nope. See, he's had his opportunities over the years, and it's never panned out.
No.
So I'm going to say – he's not, but, it's Green Bay, and they like to throw the ball. So, but Eddie Lacy's the real deal. Miles White is another guy who's seen some action. In a deeper league, he may be worth a play. But Jordy Nelson is going to get the lion's share. His stock's gone way up with all the injuries, as has Eddie Lacy's, as has Jared Boykins. And whose stock has gone down a tad is Aaron Rodgers.
He can lose that many guys.
Well, and Eddie Lacy running the ball.
Yeah, true.
We talked about him. He's a guy who's going to preserve their leads. And you know what? He's being he's a part of them getting the leads now, which is not something I expected from him. And they're really focusing on running the ball. And Eddie Lacy's doing a good job.
I give the coaching staff credit again. Obviously this wasn't the plan going into the year to have all of these injuries and have to say, wow, we need to hopefully have somebody to turn around and hand the ball off. Good thing they have somebody this year. If this was last year, they'd be in serious trouble.
Well, right, because they would just throw and try and throw their way through everything.
And poor Rodgers, they may have killed him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I think they need to preserve this quarterback because he's getting a lot of hits. Their offensive line isn't that great. They got a lot of basically a lot of fifth and sixth round offensive linemen starting. So I would say at this point, Eddie Lacy's a must start. He's borderline number one running back. And for a rookie in that offense, that's saying something. Now on the other side, I'm going to see Matt Forte's stock rise with the loss of Cutler, who they're saying may play this week.
I don't see how that's possible.
I don't see how.
No way.
But Brandon Marshall, and I see a big, big spike in Martellus Bennett. Mm-hmm. Again, back to my theory. Backup quarterback, they look for those tight ends down the middle. It's the easiest pass play to their biggest targets. So look for Martellus Bennett is a must-start. Forte is a must-start. And Brandon Marshall is a must-start. So there's a lot of fantasy implications in this game. Being a as they always are, a nice, exciting game to watch.
Yeah, Green Bay and Bears, yummy. Yep. Exactly. Always a fun game to watch. Texans going against the Colts. Excuse me here. The Colts should walk away with this. I don't see how the Texans are even going to be able to field a team. They don't have a quarterback. They don't have running backs. It's going to be ugly. And on the other side, yes, the Colts, they lost Reggie Wayne. Is Hayward Bay, is he going to be able to step up and fill even a 75% of the role of Wayne?
I think what you're going to do is to have a little bit more balance, because I don't think Hayward Bay, who's the third wide receiver now? Is it, you know, who is it? I don't know who it is. Right. So Kobe Fleener's inconsistent. Is it Brazil or Brazil?
Yeah, Brazil. You know, that's who it is.
You know, so yeah, Hayward Bay, who hasn't had one, his last game was pretty good. Hilton's been pretty consistent as a number two.
Yeah, unfortunately, Brazil's just that. You know what Brazil is, though? Brazil's Hayward Bay. That's the problem with that.
He go one direction, mm-hmm. straight. I think they're gonna have to. I think you're gonna see a lot more Donald Brown.
Yeah.
Because he can catch the ball out of the backfield, which is gonna hurt Trent Richardson's value even more.
I love these running backs who all of a sudden realize that they can actually run the ball when competition comes into town. This guy could not run at all until Trent Richardson showed up. Now all of a sudden he runs like he's, I don't know, trying to keep his job. He's trying to keep his job, maybe
8 yards a carry.
Yeah.
But I'm still gonna play Andrew Luck. He's a must start. You know, you got to still roll with Trey. Here's my theory with Richardson. He just had a bye week to get himself basically 2 weeks of preparation. Although they don't practice for a week of it, I'm sure he was mandated to know the playbook. If not this week, it's not going to happen this year for Trent Richardson.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to actually play a team going into like the game against – I think it was Monday night or Sunday night game, whenever they played. And I was like, they got Trent Richardson. And I was lucky enough to play him. And I'm like, man, he is bad. He barely had to get any points, and I would have lost that game. And he couldn't get any yards. He fumbled the ball. It was just bad. I'm like, I'm going to win this game. Are you kidding me?
I needed every point I could get. And I'll tell you, a couple weeks ago I had him, and I was down by 5 points. 4 points, I'm sorry. I needed 50 yards out of the guy, and I got it. I'm like, all right, Trent Richardson won me a game. And then there was a stack correction. I had the Chiefs defense.
Oh.
I lost 2 points on a sack and lost the game. And so Trent Richardson went from being my hero to just another bum who didn't score enough. Because if he had gotten one more point, I would have won my game. Because
yeah,
our ties goes to the bench. Bench scoring, which is also anyone who runs a league who doesn't like ties, we go to bench scoring. A lot of reasons we do that. A little sidebar. Keeps people that are keeping their lineups together.
Yeah, you know, I like that idea. Yeah, exactly.
You know, we don't have ties. If you go to your bench, everyone's the same amount of people on a bench. You know, that way, you know, you keep, you have too many people on a bye 1 week. You know, you better win it on the field with your starters because your bench is going to lose it for you if it's tied. Keeps people from keeping dead weight on their bench and active in trades and active in, mm-hmm. in right making roster moves.
Yeah, it's a great idea. I do like that idea. You know, keeps people active in the waiver wire.
Putting
new guys on their
making trades, yeah. Exactly. People picking up players they don't really need to keep them away from other players because it helps their bench, makes your bench valuable. And you know what? I mean, it's come into play a couple times over the last couple years where we've had ties and it went to the bench.
Oh yeah, we have ties in our league and we have ties every year, so that's a great idea actually.
Yeah, go right to the bench. So basically, looking at Houston, I'm not starting anybody. I mean, Andre Johnson, you're going to start because he's Andre Johnson. And maybe Garrett Graham, because again, the backup quarterback theory. But I just think this is a team that's going to probably lose by 20 points this game. And they're probably one of the injuries have been a factor, poor quarterback play, but Texans are right up there with Pittsburgh and the Giants as being disappointments this year.
Yeah, that's going to be tough for anybody, I think, as an owner to have any confidence in even starting Andre Johnson.
Yeah, because he hasn't done anything this year, really.
He hasn't really done anything, and you know, nobody's throwing him the ball. He's going to have to throw the ball to himself and hand the ball off to himself, and don't know how.
Now, would you play Trent Richardson? Are you starting Trent Richardson?
No.
No, see, I'm just giving it this week. I'm because he's a first round pick.
He
gotta
has
give
shown me nothing all year, so see, I will expect nothing this week until he proves me otherwise.
Yeah, I think this is the week he does it. So
we'll
talk about it next week. I guess I have a little bit vested interest in it because I drafted him number 3 overall.
Yeah,
over Marshawn Lynch, over LeSean McCoy, over other running backs who've been productive. So. I'm hoping
you're going down with the ship.
I got nothing else anyway to play. So
exactly, Miami, they're going against the Bengals, and Daniel Thomas, he's eating into Lamar Miller's touches. It's just got to be driving those owners crazy. Again, that's another one of those guys that had high expectation. Lamar Miller, he's supposed to have the breakout year. And Marvin Jones, you have been just telling people since before the season started, this guy's going to have a breakout season. And then you've reminded them week after week, hey,
get him
on your team. He's showing flashes. He had a ridiculous game on a small amount of playing time, really, too, because he wasn't on the field for a huge amount of plays, but now he's going to have to get onto the field.
Well,
how can
right.
Cincinnati
when we talked
in
the beginning
the
of the year, before the season even started, everyone was, we were talking, you were saying Sanu, and I'm saying, watch Marvin Jones.
Yeah.
And this is a little bit of a tidbit of information for those. The last 2 or 3 games of the year, you got to watch and see who starts getting the targets. That's where I realized last year that Marvin Jones was going to be huge this year because he had a very big end of the year, not blowing up 100-yard, 2-touchdown games, but he was factoring in the offense at the end of the year. So I remembered that. And in both my dynasty leagues, I drafted him or I picked him up and gave him a 3-year contract. And it was slow prodding in the beginning. I said, keep an eye on him. And sure enough, same thing like Joyke Bell, keep an eye on him. Just watch how they're being used. He's a stud. He's a frontline number 2. And I'll tell you right now, as much as Denver is looking good, I think Kansas City's biggest threat in the AFC is now that they have a number 2 wide receiver. Cincinnati.
Yeah, and that running back out of the backfield who makes a totally different dynamic.
Well, Andy Dalton, is
he's becoming a lot now too.
He's becoming a fantasy monster. He's got a. When we talked about him in the beginning of the year, also.
Yeah, his passing numbers are going up. The attempts. Right. They're saying, hey, let's let Andy Dalton throw it more.
Yep. Now I didn't pick up Marvin Jones in my redraft league because I have AJ Green.
Well,
and I'm not going to play them both. I probably could and still be sort of production, but that's just ridiculous. You can't really pay 2 of the same wide receivers in the same. We're not talking about having Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt.
Yeah, all the days.
But this is Cincinnati has a lot of must starts, and it's a Thursday game, so you temper your enthusiasm. And here's why: again, it's a Thursday game, short week of preparation. They're not going to have their full playbook in there, so these Thursday night games aren't overly high scoring. So, Andy Dalton's a must start, but it's not going to be the Andy Dalton game you've seen the last couple of weeks. So, Marvin Jones may be a big letdown for a lot of people this week. AJ Green, same thing. But you know what? I'm playing Andy Dalton. Marvin Jones is a must start until I see him lay an egg. AJ Green, a must start.
Well, he's just going to be even more dangerous with more threats opposite of him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And it's, I think the fact that they have Gresham and Eifert taking up the middle, and now they have a second wide receiver. The wide receivers are going to have a field day.
Yeah.
And they have Bernard out of the backfield. So that's taking a linebacker or a safety when he runs out to the pattern. They're just loaded, Cincinnati.
Yeah, and on defense, too.
Yeah, they're loaded.
Their defense gets them the ball right back in good
position.
Yeah,
great field position. And they score, too. This is a well-balanced team that's going to do damage in the playoffs.
Oh, I'm excited to see them in the playoffs.
Well, they're going to make.
I want to see those helmets running around during playoff season.
Problem with them is I'm not sold on their coach in the big game. So,
Now
in Miami, Tannehill's shown signs. If you're in a keeper league, he's someone you're going to hold on to. Charles Clay's a must start as a tight end.
Looking good.
Look again, the tight end with a rookie or second year or backup quarterbacks learning, inexperienced quarterbacks, tight ends are their best friends. And guys who you've never heard of, like Charles Clay and Jordan Reed and Cameron Jordan, and guys have come out of nowhere to be productive at tight end. It's because they're leaned on so heavily. Look at who their quarterbacks are.
Yeah.
And we'll go down the list. You know, Andy Dalton's a good, solid quarterback. He's not leaning on his tight ends. He's leaning on A.J. Green.
Right.
You know, Romo's not leaning on his tight end. Ben Roethlisberger's not. It's the younger quarterbacks who have room to grow or lean. So when you see that, Charles Clay, a must start. Mike Wallace, I'm not playing him this week. I'm not playing anybody other than Charles Clay.
There you go. I agree.
Cincinnati's too good on defense.
Yeah, it's going to be – it could be messy, so.
I mean, and one of these receivers, maybe Hartline, maybe Wallace, you know, let me back up a little bit. They're going to be so far behind in this game, they're going to have to start throwing. Now, one or two things happen. Pick after pick after pick, or some guy's going to get a ton of garbage yards. Mike Wallace isn't that guy because they're going to take away the 60-yard pass. When
good point.
Points. So you may want to look at – this may be a game where Hartline – breaks 100 yards and gets a touchdown.
Yeah, that's a great point. You could have 11 receptions, 100 yards, yep. Easy in this game. Because
Wallace isn't the guy for that.
He'll get shut down.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to get – when you need to get the ball down the field, you're not going to get it in one big play with Wallace. And he's not going to do a six-yard curl. He's going to wind up going deep, and they're going to take that away. So, you know, this is a game where, you know, someone like Hartline or Clay may have ridiculous numbers. So look at that. Keep that in mind.
Good. That's perfect. Right there. We just covered 7 games for the week. Ended on good positive notes. Charles Clay, we already knew about him, but maybe Hartline because Wallace is going to be shut down out of this once Cincinnati starts tearing them apart. So take that information, everybody. As always, thank you for listening. I'm Kyle Almer. That's the guru, Chris Polina, and you've been listening to The Blitz.
Have a good night.